Well, thank you, Leah and worship team. I love it when we sing a worship song, and some of the words that were in the worship song are in the passage we're about to read. And that's what's going to happen this morning, which is kind of neat. First off, before we start, is John Coors here? Mr. John, he's right in front of me. Awesome. Just want to make sure you're here. So first of all, just want to pass on our congratulations to John Coors and Olga, his fiance. They're going to get married in August. So congratulations. We are happy for you. Secondly, yesterday, in support of doing Family Right with Dave and Melissa McVitie, a bunch of us crazy people went and did the Tough Mudder, and I was one of them. Miracles do happen. And I made it alive, and yeah. So I just first off want to thank those who participated. If you were on, if you're one of those people who are on the team, if you could just please stand up. Renee was on, Joel, Dave, myself, Sean, Aaron, and we're all here. I'm very impressed. Give them a hand. Thank you guys for supporting doing Family Right by doing something crazy. And if you are one of those people in the church who gave something to contribute towards the ministry, thank you for contributing to Dave and Melissa and what they do, the valuable work they do helping families and marriages in our community and in our world. So thanks, guys. Well, we are continuing on our Ask Paul Anything series. Continuing on from last week, we're on the same chapter where we were last week. Same theme, and it's the resurrection. Such a foundational chapter. And again, 1 Corinthians 15, if you're looking for it in your Bibles. Now the resurrection is something that that I hope we never forget, and this is a topic I hope we never take for granted. Let me go ahead and pray before we get into the passage. Lord, thank you for the time we spent last week talking about some of the facts of the resurrection. Lord, we thank you and praise you because it means that you conquered sin and death. Lord, our hope was in you is not in vain. And Lord, bless us today as we continue on with this very important topic. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as we start thinking about the resurrection and our bodies and all that good stuff, we start thinking about heaven and what heaven's going to be like. Well, I don't know, you may have heard of a pastor and a taxi driver who had died and they had gone to heaven. And St. Peter met them at the pearly gates, and he looked at the taxi driver and he said, "You, taxi driver, come with me." And so with that, St. Peter took him to a beautiful, gigantic mansion. I mean, this place was amazing. It had anything you can imagine, from a bowling alley to a large Olympic-sized swimming pool and a customized barbecue kitchen set in the backyard. It had the works. "Wow, thank you," said the taxi driver. Next, St. Peter led the pastor to a rugged old shack with a bunk bed and a little old television set, one of those tube TVs. And the pastor said, "Wait, I'm a little confused." He says, "Why does he get the mansion and I get a shack?" "Well, here's the thing," said St. Peter. "When you preached, people slept." And he says, "When the taxi driver drove, everyone prayed." So just do me a favor when you get to heaven. Just remember to invite me over. Yeah. Anyways, Paul continues on in this passage, verse 35 in chapter 15. He continues on by now commenting on what kind of bodies we will have in heaven. And so the first chunk of verses I'm going to read is verse 35 to 50. And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says in verse 35, "But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh, one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their glory. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to life forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. We'll pause there for a second, and we'll continue with the rest of the verses later. But now let me just make a few comments on this passage that we just read. Firstly, as you read about a seed having to die and be buried, we were reminded of Jesus' words as he predicted his own death in John 12:24. It says this, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." Without death and burial, there is no new life. You should check out YouTube, because as you check out YouTube and you type in a seed to plant, a time lapse, you'll see all sorts of videos of seeds turning into plants before your eyes. And in fact, I'm just going to direct your attention to the screen while we watch something like that just happening. Amazing how a little seed can be transformed into something big and beautiful. And so Paul's using this illustration. Jesus kind of uses this illustration as well. And so in somewhat of a similar way, but maybe not quite exactly the same, but with a similar concept in mind, God is going to change our bodies into something different, something exciting, something bigger and better, so to speak. Now Paul points to creation, and he observes in this passage that there are different kinds of bodies depending on the environment. And for example, whales wouldn't do well in the sky, believe it or not, but their bodies work well in the water. Birds, being lightweight and aerodynamic, do very well in the air. Monkeys, with their bodies, do well in the trees. I wouldn't, and neither would any of us at Tough Mudder. We all didn't do the best job on the monkey bars, but we made it. If our bodies were like monkeys, we would have sailed through that obstacle no problem. But the point is that God has created different bodies for different animals and their surroundings. Now, heaven's going to be a unique and special place, which means our bodies are going to be unique and special as well. Paul then compares our bodies to the first and second Adam. And you might be wondering, if you're reading this for the first time, what in the world is Paul talking about when he's talking about the first Adam and the second Adam? Well, to put it simply, the first Adam is the first human who was created by God. Adam and Eve, and he's referred to as the earthly man in this passage. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." And so in a sense, we are all physically related to Adam. And because Adam sinned and experienced death, we're all going to experience death as well. Now the second Adam or heavenly man is Jesus. Child 12 needs their parent. So if there's a parent in the building who has number 12 on their bracelet, go ahead and see what's up with your child. The second Adam, or the heavenly man, is Jesus. And Paul says, just as we are presently like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. And so what happened to Jesus and what happened with his body, that the fact that he rose again and was given new life, is the same thing that's going to happen to us and for those who trust in Jesus. Quite an exciting truth. And so it's through the first Adam we experience death, sin and death, and it's through the second Adam, Jesus, that we experience victory over sin and death. So what does this mean, and what do these bodies look like? Well, we need to understand that our present bodies are, first of all, incapable of coping with the glory of God. Our decaying and corruptible bodies won't make the cut. They won't meet the standard. The truth is that God will raise and transform our bodies. And I think we'll be able to do crazy things like walk on water and maybe even walk through walls or even transport from one end of the room to the other. Or actually, in heaven, I think we'll be able to transport from one part of heaven to the other all in the blink of an eye. But to be honest, the truth is that it's probably beyond our imagination, beyond our comprehension, what we'll be able to do with our bodies. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be great. Now, one of the most exciting truths is that our bodies will never die again. There's going to be no more pain or suffering. This past week, Bernie was sent to the hospital because of a mild heart attack. Henry shared what happened with his wife. Jerry Moback was sent to the hospice because he's in his last days in his life. Another one of our members this past week took a stress test. Another was complaining to me about their knees and their back, and the list goes on and on and on, and we've all got physical limitations and physical issues with our bodies. But the exciting thing about heaven is that we're not going to be experiencing anything like this when we get to heaven, and that's something to be excited about. G.E. Ladd, he wrote this. He says, "Who can imagine a body without weakness or infection or tiredness or sickness or death? This is a body utterly unknown to earthly historical experience. It is an order of existence in which the laws of nature no longer obtain. In fact, when one puts his mind to it, it is quite unimaginable." And I think in heaven, for those of you who are doctors or nurses or paramedics or hospital administrators, you guys are all going to be out of work. I'm sorry, but no more work for you in heaven. There's going to be no hospitals, no more pain clinics, and no more fundraisers to find a cure for any sickness or disease. There's going to be no more pharmaceutical companies. Where are we going to be without pharmaceutical companies? With all their drugs and lotions and potions, none of that will exist in heaven. In fact, I get the sense there's going to be no money. We're going on a bit of a rabbit trail here, but I get the sense there's going to be no money in heaven, which means there's no banks, no bankers, no financial advisors, no investors, no accountants, no CRA, no tax man. And none of that is going to be in heaven. In fact, when you stop and think of it, heaven is going to be a place where a huge amount of the jobs that we have here on earth will not exist anymore. No more funerals, no more old age homes, and the list goes on and on and on. And remember, with a few jobs that are left over, we got some spectacular angelic beings who are probably doing a lot of the work, which leaves us with very few jobs for the rest of us. So what jobs will in heaven will be in high demand? What jobs in heaven do you think will be in high demand? I think the two jobs that'll be in high demand in heaven for us is chefs and party planners. So, yeah. I guess so. Get practicing or something. Anyways, the truth is I have no idea of what jobs we're going to have in heaven. I have no idea exactly what our bodies are going to look like, but it's going to be awesome. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but it's going to be great. It's going to be so great, in fact, when two Christians who had lived a very good and healthy lives, they had died and went to heaven. And as they're walking along, marveling at the paradise around them, one turns the other and says, "Wow, I never knew heaven was going to be as good as this." "Yeah," says the other. "And just think, if we hadn't eaten all that oat bran, we could have got here 10 years sooner." Now, I don't mean to be insensitive, but for those of us who have had loved ones in Christ pass away, they're in a much better place. And in fact, this past week, my wife and I, we saw a picture on Facebook of a friend of mine who had passed away 5 years ago. He and his wife were in Korea, and they were just about to celebrate their one-year anniversary when he was in the right of way. He was crossing the street. There was even video evidence of this, and he got hit by a bus, and he died. So that was a very difficult thing for the family. But anyways, as we saw a picture of him on Facebook, my wife turned to me. She said something along the line. She said, "Ryan, are you jealous of him?" And I think we both said in a way, "Yeah," because he was in heaven and we're still here. In fact, when we get to heaven, we're probably going to experience things we've never experienced before. Our eyes are going to be opened, our ears are going to be opened. And I wonder what our reaction will be like when we finally see what heaven's going to be like. I wonder if it's going to be anything like a deaf person being able to hear for the first time. And so I want to show you a video of people, deaf people, who are able to hear for the first time, and just take note of their reaction.
Recording, Lachlan.
First
hearing aid.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the big moment. She's going to hear something. We don't really know what.
We're going to roll the sound after pushing your head just a little bit.
There you go.
Beeping. So now technically your device is on.
Can you
tell?
You said you hear it.
Hi, Cooper.
I know I look like an elderly munchkin, but do I sound like one now?
Is it on?
My God, I can hear myself.
Yeah. That's good.
It's okay.
Blue. Orange. Red. Black.
Purple.
What do you think?
What is it like?
It's
okay.
So different to you.
Hi, Mom.
Sound clear or does it sound muffled?
Sounds clear.
Wow, man, if people can get that excited about hearing on earth, hearing for the first time, what is our reaction going to be like when we get to heaven and we're going to be experiencing the fullness of heaven for the very first time? And not just the fullness of heaven, but really the fullness of God's presence. It's going to be a million times more expressive than that. Anyways, our transformed bodies, whatever they look like, whatever they're able to do, are going to be amazing, and heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. Let's continue on in verse 51 and following. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, and this is where we sang these words that we're about to read. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. I think it was verse 3 or 4 of It Is Well With My Soul. How does it go? When the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend? For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Again, we're going to have bodies that are transformed and never die. But here's another exciting truth we learn in this passage, that is that Jesus is coming back. That's a big deal. When is he coming back? Well, Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. Are you ready for him? That's probably the most important question of the day. Are you ready to meet him if he were to come back right now? I hope so, but not all of us here may be ready for him. Jesus told us to be ready. He says this in Matthew 24. He says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. There was one day I went to the mall. It was on the weekend. It was a Saturday. It was busy. The sun was out. It was broad daylight. I went in to go buy something. I can't remember what it was. I came back to my van, and the back window was busted open, and sheets of paper were all over the van. The window, the rearview mirror was twisted around, and I just realized that I got broken into in broad daylight at the mall in a public place. I got broken into at a time when I had least expected. In a similar way, Jesus is going to come when least expected. The trumpet will sound and Jesus will return. Will you be ready for him? Now, if you have not confessed him, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, you are not ready for Jesus to return. If you have not surrendered your life to him and committed to follow his ways, you are not ready for him. You know, there could be people here who have visited today, they don't even know why they're here. But this may be the very reason why you are here, because maybe God is calling you to be ready for him today. You haven't made a serious commitment to follow Jesus. And if he were to come back tomorrow, you would not be ready for him. Now, let me caution you. Some of you may be thinking here, we made the invitation last week to receive Jesus and make a commitment to follow him. Maybe you were thinking about it, and half of you saying, yeah, I want to decide to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And the other half is saying, well, you know what? I'm a healthy person, and I can do it later. And it's true. You may be in good health, and you may very likely live a long life. But here's the deal. Jesus may come before you die. He may come back tomorrow. He may come back today. He may come back next week, and you won't have time then to change your mind. And so I want to say, are you ready to meet him? Will you be ready when the trumpet is blown? And if not, and you're ready to receive him, I would urge you to make a decision today to simply receive Jesus and commit to him wholeheartedly. And you're welcome to do that with someone on the prayer team after the service. Verse 54, let's continue. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. I love this verse. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? It's a super cool verse, and we're going to sing those words at the end of the service during our final song. Now, where in the Old Testament are these verses found? Well, they're found in Hosea 13, verse 14, and also in Isaiah. Let me read to you Isaiah's passage here, this verse from Isaiah 25, verse 8. It says, He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. And you know, although death can be a little painful, it can be a little scary, Christians can face death with confidence. Why? Because we know what the final outcome will be. Of all the people who walk the planet, we have the greatest hope because of what Jesus has done for us in our behalf. Verse 56 and 57. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, death is a result of sin. If you wonder why we die, we die because sin entered the world. But sin and death was dealt with when Jesus died on the cross. Praise God. Jesus has victory over sin and death. And although we can experience victory over sin now in this life, it won't be fully realized until Jesus returns. And all this is a gift of grace. There was a man who died and he went to heaven. And he met St. Peter at the door, of course. St. Peter's pretty popular in heaven, I guess. And he told the man, well, listen, here's how it works. If you want to get into heaven, you need 1 million points to get in. So you tell me all the good stuff you've done, and I'll give you some points based on the wonderful things that you've done. So the man said, sure, I'll give it a whirl. So he says, okay, let's start with this. He says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, even in my heart. Oh, that's wonderful, says St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points! He says, okay, well, I attended church all my life and I supported its ministry with my tithe and service. Terrific, said St. Peter. That's worth, that's worth 1 point. 1 point! Golly, how about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic. That's good for 2 more points. 2 points, the man cries. At this rate, the only way of getting to heaven is by the grace of God. He says, you're right. Come on in. Last week, we said that good people do not go to heaven. And we're still saying that this week as well. Good people do not get to heaven. Forgiven people do by the grace of God. And the only way to be forgiven is to put your faith in Jesus, to believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the grave, and to confess him as Lord and Savior. Have you done that yet? If you have not done that yet, we're giving you another opportunity today to make that decision. Now, praise God that Jesus has victory over sin and death, because of that, we can have victory over sin and death too. And the last verse for today, verse 58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So in other words, don't give up. Don't get tired of doing the Lord's work, because everything you do to contribute towards the kingdom has eternal consequences. It was somewhat humorous as I came back from lunch one day this past week. I met Pete Enns in the foyer, and he says, Pastor Ryan, I think I'm going to resign. Pete is a trustee, and I hope he was joking. And he's been so busy this past week, this past few months actually, and the rest of the trustees doing so much work around this building. It's been so great. By the way, he was presently at the time working in the backyard with a few other guys. Pete Enns, Larry, Ken, Barry, and perhaps some others I'm forgetting. They've done a wonderful job extending the parking lot recently this past week. Actually, if we could just give them a hand, that'd be great. But thank you for those, whoever you are, that contributed to the parking lot. And you know, there may be some others who in other ministries who are a bit tired, they're a bit fatigued, and they're thinking, man, what am I doing working this hard? And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up, because nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. And so, Pete, thank you for all you do, and thank you everyone else who works hard in the church as well for all you do. And maybe on the other hand, there's some of us who have gotten really sloppy in your church attendance. And maybe you're just here just to please Dad today, I don't know. And maybe you've been really sloppy in your church attendance or even fellowshipping with other believers. And I want to encourage you to get with it. To get with it, because this life is too short compared to eternity. Now, if you're looking for purpose, I want to encourage you to find purpose in God. In fact, it's the only place you're going to find true and lasting purpose is in a relationship with God where you're serving him wholeheartedly. And remember, everything we've said so far, it only makes sense because Jesus rose from the dead. Because Jesus rose from the dead, your work is not in vain. And that's the most important thing we need to remember. Jesus is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored and adored and worshiped because he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death once and for all. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up and the prayer team to get themselves settled. You know, one of the things we said in this message today, I asked, are you ready to meet Jesus if he were to come back and if he were to come back today? And if you have not accepted Jesus, you are not ready to meet him. And I would urge you not to leave yourself in that situation. And so if you would like to make the decision today to simply believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the grave, and commit to following him as Lord, as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come forward and talk to someone on the prayer team today. And if, in addition to that, if you have any prayer need, whatever it is, by the way, as a side note, if you just came up for prayer last week for whatever reason, you're welcome to come back this week and next week and the week after. Don't feel like you only have one prayer time per year or something. that the Lord is more than happy to meet you where you're at, wherever you're at, however often it is. It's a good thing to come forward if you need prayer for something. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you again for the reminder in your word, Lord, that you rose, you died and you rose from the grave. You conquered sin and death, Lord. And for that, we can put our faith in you, our trust in you. And Lord, we can say we love you, Lord, but only because you loved us first. And Lord, we pray that each and every person here, whatever it looks like, Lord, that we would all be drawing into a deeper and more meaningful walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for being our great Father. Lord, we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.